Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to the Fordham and 8 Ash Green podcast service for Sunday the 9th of August. My name is Alistair Grote, and I have the privilege of leading the service this morning. I'll be assisted by Margaret Munday, who will be reading the Gospel passage, and Miriam Jelfs, who will be leading our prayers. As Nick Durlach explained last week, we had two trial services in Fordham Church on the 19th and 26th of July. These were successfully live streamed from the church with a congregation of around 25. However, it proved difficult for us to maintain social distancing and various other disciplines required to keep us all safe. So while Francis, our minister, and Rachel, our church manager, are on holiday, we return to our podcast services, where today we have the joy of listening to Bishop Rod Thomas, who will be preaching from Matthew's Gospel on five parables of Jesus. So we are grateful to the Church Society and Bishop Rod for providing these sermons at this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. All you will need for this podcast is the weekly service and notice sheet, which you should have received by email, and a copy of the Bible to hand. Before we commence our service, let us commit our time together in prayer. Let us pray. Faithful Father, we begin our service today by giving you thanks. Your love endures forever. It never fails. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. As Bishop Rod opens Matthew's Gospel today, we pray we would hear your voice. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work, opening our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. May we be transformed in your likeness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn today is a great hymn of praise. Praise Him, Jesus our Blessed Redeemer.
Thank you.
Come now to our time of confession, when we ask for God's forgiveness, perhaps for things we consider as fairly minor, but yet are not pleasing to God. For that wasted moment spent selfishly or just filling time. For the hurtful moments caused by our words or actions. For the thoughtless moments lacking in love. For the destructive moments when we let our anger get the better of us. Please join me if you can in the words of the confession as printed on the service sheet. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Margaret Munday will now bring us the Gospel reading.
Today's reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, starting at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants, becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We come now to our time of confession, when we ask for God's forgiveness, perhaps for things we consider as fairly minor, but yet are not pleasing to God. For that wasted moment spent selfishly or just filling in time. For the hurtful moments caused by our actions or words. For the thoughtless moments lacking in love. For the destructive moments when we let our anger get the better of us. Please join me if you can in the words of the confession as printed in the service sheet. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Hello, I'm Rod Thomas, the Bishop of Maidstone, and I'm delighted to be with you today on behalf of the Church Society's contribution to your Sunday sermons. Well, we've got five parables from our reading today to cover, so we need to get started straight away. And I want to start with a question. Have you ever wondered why it is that God does things the way he does? Why doesn't he do things differently? If I was God, I would want to sort out the pandemic. I'd want to deal with world hunger in the church. I might want more miracles to get people's attention, all sorts of things. I don't know if you ever saw the film Bruce Almighty, starring Jim Carrey, but you may remember that at one stage, God gives him the power to act like God, and within hours, there is total chaos. So maybe instead of telling God how to do his job, we ought to become more interested in how he actually does it. And today's reading, with all those parables, tells us something about how he acts in the world and in our lives and how we should respond. And the first thing we discover from the parable of the mustard seed is that the kingdom of heaven starts in an unimpressive way. The start is unimpressive. The kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, is like a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. Well, actually, not quite the smallest. I can think, you know, poppy seed, for example, maybe slightly smaller. But the point of this is that it was a proverb from Jesus' time to indicate something of a very small size. It wasn't supposed to be taken literally any more than our proverbs today are. If you take, for example, a proverb, a stitch in time saves nine, it doesn't mean that literally every time nine stitches will be saved. It might be far more than that. It's just to say it's a good thing to do. And so it was in Jesus' day. So he says, you take something very, very small, and the effects in an individual's life and in the world are extraordinary, just as a 3-meter plant grows out of a small mustard seed. And it's true, as you look around the world, there are 2 billion Christians in the world, over 2 billion. In fact, I think the estimate is it'll be 3.5 billion by the middle of the century. And it all started with one man walking around an unknown backwater of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. And then when he died, he left 11 rather faint-hearted followers. From that small mustard seed has come this great plant of worldwide Christianity. And the same is true in our individual lives. When you think of all of the things that putting our trust in Jesus Christ enables us to have, complete forgiveness for our sins, no more guilt, the ability to look forward to life, live to the full, a transformed life here and now, new brothers and sisters in the church, so many things, and it all follows from just one tiny step of putting our trust in Jesus Christ. So the results are spectacular, even though the start is unimpressive. Secondly, the transformation is complete. The transformation is complete. And this brings us to the parable of the leaven in the lump of dough. Because what happens with yeast is that when it's added to things, however small it is, it affects the entire substance into which it's put. So in the case of dough, it affects the whole dough, causing it to rise, which enables people to bake bread. And it's the same in the Christian life. An apparently small step, putting our trust in Jesus Christ, has an utterly transforming effect in our life. And that's a very important thing to grasp hold of, particularly if you're investigating the Christian faith for yourself at the moment. One of the things that puts people off becoming Christians is worrying about whether they could keep it up. They know themselves, they know what they're like, and they think, I don't know if I could follow the commands of Christ. I don't know if I could love my neighbor as myself. I don't know if I could, you know, say good things about my enemy. I don't know if I could forgive other people as I've been forgiven. And they think, well, I don't know that I could do all that, so I better not try. But the great thing about this parable is that it's not all down to us. The yeast gets added, that tiny first step, after which the transformation just goes on. You see, when you become a Christian and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit as a free gift. And the Holy Spirit works in our life to change us completely. It takes time, it takes a whole life. And we're never perfectly changed by the time we die. That perfect transformation will come when we meet the Lord Jesus face to face on that great final day when he comes again. But until then, we get changes in our lives that we never thought we would, and it's a pointer to what lies ahead in the future. So the start is unimpressive, but the results spectacular. The transformation is complete. And now our third and fourth parables, because this brings us on to another important fact about the kingdom of heaven. It is of immense value. And that's the lesson that both the parable of the treasure that was found in the field and the parable of the pearl that the merchant finds at a great price, both of those parables point to, that the kingdom is of immense value. So why are there two parables? Why not just one making that point? Well, the answer is there's a difference in the people who are doing the looking for these great treasures. In the case of the rich merchant, here is somebody who has investigated lots of pearls in his lifetime. And the same could be said of many who explore Christianity. They are people who've looked into different philosophies, different religions, and then when they come across Jesus Christ, they realize they found the pearl that is of most value of all. That was true for Justin Martyr in the second century. He examined all the philosophical schools of his day until eventually he met a man who invited him to come and read the scriptures with him. And because Justin Martyr knew about pearls, he knew when he'd found a truly precious one. And it's not just church history. In our more modern age, people have discovered in Christ exactly the same thing. Solzhenitsyn, for example, he knew all about oppression, he knew about suffering and ill health, and these taught him the real importance of the values of compassion, of truth, and of freedom. And then he looked at Jesus Christ and found them all perfectly exemplified in him and wanted to become his follower. So a person, therefore, may know the value of the kingdom because they're so conversant with the alternatives. But on the other hand, a person can just sort of stumble across the truth of Jesus Christ. I've known people who were just reading the Bible during religious knowledge lessons at school and were so struck by it that they became Christians. I've known others who weren't looking for anything, but on the basis of what their friends told them of their own encounter with Jesus Christ, went to explore for themselves. Now, why do people who just stumble across the gospel, why do they regard it as of great value? Well, the answer is because they discover that the gospel fulfills everything they long for. We want to get rid of things that we feel guilty about in our lives, we otherwise carry it around all our lives. Well, the great thing about the gospel is that by trusting in Jesus Christ, we trust him to take away all our sin and therefore the guilt that goes with it. Kingsley Amis, the famous novelist, before he died, said that the great thing about Christianity was that you could be forgiven your sins. He said for himself, I carry my sins around with me, he said. There is nobody to forgive them. And then, following Jesus, answers all our deep yearning for meaning and purpose in our lives, because it offers us a relationship with the living God. And it gives us hope. Hope that, yes, our lives can change, and hope for the eternal future. So when you come across things like these, well, you'd be a fool not to see how immensely valuable they are. But now comes the fourth point from these parables, and that is that the kingdom costs everything. The kingdom costs everything. It may be of immense value, but it costs everything. The rich merchant and the person in the field both go to sell everything they have in order to acquire the treasure. And some people who are investigating Christianity get a bit confused about this, because they think, well, if the gospel costs everything, how come people around me are telling me that it's free, that I don't have to pay for it or do anything to deserve it? Well, the answer is it is free. There is absolutely nothing you have to do before you put your trust personally in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, the forgiveness of sins, for an eternal future with him. Nothing you have to do other than trust. Nothing that you have to pay anybody. It is free. Forgiveness is freely forgiven. But having said that, once we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust him for everything, including our own lives. We trust him to be the ruler, not just of the universe, but of us too. And therefore, we hand him the control of our lives. Yes, it does cost us everything in a way, in that we follow his way of doing things, not because we have to or because we're trying to prove anything, but because it's what following him involves, and it's a great joy to do it. And actually, obeying him does give us so much more enjoyment of life. We discover that in his service is perfect freedom, as the Book of Common Prayer puts it. It is wonderful. We're told to be the first to sort of make up with people if there's been a row, and we sort of grit our teeth in order to say sorry. And then afterwards we think, well, why didn't we do that before? It's utterly changed everything. It's so much better to follow the Lord Jesus. But it would be wrong to think that there are no changes that follow. Yes, following Jesus does cost everything. And lastly, our last parable is the parable of the net that the fishermen use to drag in fish. And when they bring them to land, some are discarded and others are kept because they're good for food. And what that parable tells us is that making up our mind about the kingdom of heaven matters very greatly. It matters greatly. You see, there is a sorting out done on that beach between the good fish and the bad fish. And it's not as though what we're saying here is that ultimately, you know, if you're good enough, you'll be chosen by God, and if you're not, you won't. No, the way in which God chooses people are those who are perfectly fit for his company forever, those who've made righteous. And the only way to be made righteous is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus and be united with him, as a result of which all our sins are forgiven. And all his character, his non-guilty character, his righteous character, is given to us. So God regards us then as those that he wants with him forever. And those that haven't put their trust in Christ are discarded. That is a terrible truth. And yet it is one that the Bible is explicit about. It matters very greatly. So if you're in the position of yourself investigating Christianity, investigating what the gospel consists of, well, do follow it up. Have a word, perhaps, with the person who invited you to join in with these online services. Or perhaps you've made friends with somebody during the course of them. Have a chat to them about how you yourself can put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for all of us, well, here are parables to give us great confidence as we go into the future. Confidence that however small the steps are that we take of putting our trust in the Lord Jesus and our faithfulness to him, he can transform them to demonstrate how wonderful the kingdom of heaven is. Amen.
We're thankful for Bishop Rod for that reminder that the Holy Spirit can transform us. And in Jesus, everything is perfect. That following him costs everything, but that we gain perfect freedom. Miriam Jeltz will now lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Good morning. Now, after our prayers of confession, let us draw near to God again and bring him our prayers of intercession. We begin by sharing fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world as we read together the collect for today that is found on page 2 of your service sheet. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and the light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you that as your forgiven people, we can come right into your presence, not with uncertainty or fear, but as your word tells us, with confidence, knowing you are more ready to listen and able to answer than we are to ask. So, Father, we come to you on behalf of our broken, spoiled world, the world that you made so beautiful that when you had finished creating, you did not want to change anything. We pray especially for people in Lebanon who this week have seen their homes and city devastated by this terrible explosion. The tragedy for their country is that it was already on its knees economically, and now the blast has destroyed their port, a key area for resources to get into the country. Heavenly Father, will you comfort those who mourn, provide for those who have lost everything, and enable those who are seeking to give help. We ask, Lord, for your forgiveness for having spoiled what you have made good. Please give wisdom and enablement to all who are seeking today to show your ways as they teach your word, try to resolve conflicts between nations and people, and feed the hungry. Heavenly Father, in your mercy, will you enable an effective vaccine to be found that will combat this virus and bring a solution to the pandemic that is facing us all worldwide at this time? We're living in times that cause many to fear. Father, will you again pour out your Spirit on us and cause many to recognize that true hope is in the rock which cannot be shaken, and that in him we are secure. Heavenly Father, our country has been so blessed by you in past years, yet now we see laws passed which are turning us as a nation away from your ways. Forgive us, Lord, and grant us leaders who will govern us wisely and according to your commandments. Loving Father, the psalmist tells us that everyone is precious to you, whatever our colour or nationality, and that even before we were born, you knew all about each one of us. So we now bring to you our brothers and sisters around the world who do not live in freedom as we do. Every day we hear of those who are suffering greatly for their faith, especially at this time in Nigeria, where many have been killed in recent days. As your church, we are part of the one body worldwide, and we uphold in our prayers those who suffer and grieve for the loss of loved ones, and for those who follow Christ at great cost. Father, as long ago you stood by Daniel and Peter when they were in prison, stand with our brothers, surround them with your love, give them your grace and peace, and in your time, gracious Father, will you bring them deliverance and freedom. And now, Lord, for ourselves, as we meet here at Fordham and 8 Ash Green, We ask you to bless and refresh Francis, Georgina and the children, and any others of our fellowship who are on holiday. We bring to you those who are sick and ask you to touch them with your healing grace. And we think especially of Chris, Colette and baby Madeline in Berlin as Chris undergoes further treatment for his cancer. May John and Maraci feel your loving arms around them too as they daily wait for news. Now let us all quietly bring by name to the Lord those that we know who are sick or troubled and ask for his blessing and healing. Thank you, Lord, for the love and fellowship that we share. Keep us in the unity of your Spirit as we seek to appoint new leaders for the work amongst the children and young people in the parish. Please touch each one of us with your Spirit so that we can bless the communities that we live in. Lord, in these coming days, use each one of us to bring others to Jesus, we pray. Help us to daily live our lives in close contact with you, looking forward to the time when Jesus will return and be seen and acknowledged by everyone as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In these challenging times, Sovereign Lord, we are so thankful that you are the one who never changes, the one whose power never diminishes. And so we bring to you our prayers and petitions in the powerful name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we close, let us thoughtfully say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him to teach them how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Miriam. Our next hymn tells the good news of Jesus' birth, death and resurrection, and that he is now seated at God's right hand, King and Lord of all. We have a gospel to proclaim.
Thank you.
Before we close our service, may I draw your attention to the notices, which are to be found on the later pages of your service sheet, and which you should already have received by email for this podcast service. So I'll leave you to read the notices at your convenience, except to highlight that in next week's podcast, we will hear from Bishop Rod again on the subject of parables of the kingdom. We will now close our service in prayer. Father, may our worship have been acceptable before you, even if we are not gathered together. Let the peace that surpasses all understanding be with us as we face the coming week. Help us to make a difference in the lives of others as we share the gospel, and to be a blessing to everyone we meet or speak to in the coming days. Let our words and actions align with your word. We thank you for what we have learnt from Bishop Rod today. Help us never to forget that you are with us always. In Jesus' name we ask it. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us now and always. Amen.